Hour number two. Willie D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Check us out on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. And anything else I left out? Did I leave anything out? Facebook? We still on there?
YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter.
We're there.
All
we're
the
there
above.
For you. We're there for you. SEC Media Day is going on down in Dallas. We're going to hear from Greg Sankey here in just a moment, get some opening comments, and then a couple of things he honed in on. He was asked about all of the things going on. It's moving a million miles an hour. The transfer portal, NIL, Texas and Oklahoma coming into the league, expanded football playoff. It's nuts. It is crazy. He's trying to make sense of it all, and we'll let you know how he answered some of the key questions that everybody has as we move into this, I guess you could call it a new era. It's definitely a new era of SEC football. But let me get to one caller who is on the line hanging on from the last hour. That's Steven, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The question we asked last hour is, with the expanded format, especially in terms of SEC teams, is it easier or harder now to win a national championship? Steven, how would you answer that?
I would say it's easier to win a national championship. If you go back to your granddad's college football, you had to hope coaches voted your way to win half a championship, and then you had to hope the AP voted that way too. In the early 2000s, you had to hope the computers decided you were eligible to play in the championship game. We all remember an Auburn team going undefeated. They got nothing but we wish you the best of luck.
Right. The Golf Digest voted them the champion.
But at least you get to play a game instead of hope you have to make an argument to sway people or a computer. So I would take that actually having the ability to play the game over some voodoo math or hoping you can sway the opinion.
That's a very good point. But I would counter, and I think it's probably harder because you have to win those games. And whereas you could get the pass from the computer or the voters, and you're right, it was an archaic system before. And we thank you for the call, Stephen. It's a really interesting point. So you buy that? You think it's easier? Because you remember those days. You played college football in those days, and he was referring to way back in the day, it was all voters.
Yeah.
Then they went to that weird area where still only two teams made it in the early 2000s, and Auburn one year got left out. It was Texas and USC both went undefeated. They played in the title game. Auburn was also undefeated and didn't get in because there was only two teams. It was one versus two for the national title, and Auburn couldn't play their way in. So from that perspective, I get it, but I guess my counterpoint is to win the national title. The winner of that game, and it was Texas and Vince Young, I think, is the year that happened when Auburn got left out, is that they didn't have to win three games. Like Texas or USC didn't have to beat Auburn just to get to the championship game. That's why I think it's harder.
Yeah, I think it's harder because I think it was harder then because there were only, you know, two spots, and the avenues or the roads were narrow, very narrow, to get into the college football playoffs, because if you lose one game, it was pretty much over with. You know, unless
you'd have to get pretty lucky.
Yeah, you had to get lucky, and then, you know, playing one of these championship games, and you would have to, you know, really beat the team by double-digit points to even get a consideration to be back into the college football playoffs. Now the road is a little bit easier. I think it's still going to be hard for teams to get in.
So you argue that it's easier
now to
win a national championship.
But I think it's easier now because there's so many roads to get in. Now, okay.
I still say harder.
No, it's always okay because you could look at it from the point I think you're looking at, Willie. Even though they've opened up a lot of spaces, it's still going to be hard to win four games consecutively.
Yeah. And at least three.
And you're right about that. But I think the question almost should be, because anytime you insert like championship, is it harder to win a championship? Yeah, it's going to be hard, period, no matter if they had two teams, four teams, six teams, eight teams, or now 12. That's hard. It's easier to put yourself in a position to win a national title now. Why? Because there's more avenues. There are more spots for teams to make the playoffs.
I still go back to my argument is the Braves of the 1990s. They had the best team for 15 years, or among the best teams 15 years, and there were several years where they were the best team, but they didn't win the World Series, and part of the reason they had to win three rounds of playoffs and not two. I think the same principle applies. The best team in the country it's harder for that team to win the national title now because they got to win a minimum of three games to win it instead of one game or two games, as has been the case in the past. Even with Steven's argument, which was a good one, is you had to get lucky, you had to get the voters, you had to get everything behind you. So that's we'll come back to this someday for sure. It's not going away, especially as we get closer to the actual tournament, which starts in late December. All right. Let's hear from Greg Sankey. This is what he had to say about the changing times, things moving a million miles an hour, the wild, wild west. Here is how he opened his comments at SEC Media Days.
We're going to return to Atlanta and the College Football Hall of Fame with our football media days. I also want to say thank you to Regions Bank, who is a year-long sponsor, but the sponsor of our media days. They also played a key role in something called SEC Startup. I promise you, I'm almost at the end, so I'll catch you on this one. This is a competitive business pitch competition among our student athletes who are the future entrepreneurs. They make a presentation and a pitch competition with their business concepts presented and reviewed by a panel of judges. It will be shown on a program tonight on the SEC Network at 7 Eastern, SEC Startup's debut. It includes student athlete entrepreneurs from Auburn, Florida, Missouri, and Oklahoma, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the SEC Network. We're about to jump into questions. I'm going to go back and say there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot that could cause us to say, wow, where's the hope in this? Where's the finish line? I actually sometimes think finish lines are too much of a focus because we have to look to the future. And as much as there may be that's viewed as problematic, those successes I mentioned just scratch the surface. We haven't told a lot of individual stories, but they're there. And I'm optimistic about our future because I get to spend time with the leaders in the Southeastern Conference, the leaders today, and the young people who will be leaders tomorrow, which is why, through all of this change, I'm convinced our best days are still ahead. So thank you for being here. If you're in Dallas and Kevin Trainor's here, you know it's a big event. And so Kevin is going to help guide us through our question and answer period.
Okay, so it's some general comments, and so we'll get to a couple of questions. You ready, Nick?
All right, Commissioner, if you do have a
That's
question.
That's the opening address from SEC Commissioner Greg
Here's Laura Rutledge on SEC
Sankey.
Network.
We'll be back after.
We'll get to some of the actual questions that was asked. He didn't make a speech. This is interesting. He sort of chose the opening comments, and this is unlike he's done before in some of his predecessors where, you know, he's talking about an initiative with Regent Bank and everything, and then a couple of general comments there from before. But now we get to the question and answers. Let's get the first few questions for Greg Sankey, and then we can't play the whole thing. It was very long. It was like 50 minutes long. But I wrote down a couple of notes, but we want to give you a flavor of it here on the show. So here are a couple of questions to the SEC commissioner.
We are a big part of Texas. Texas is a big part of us now. I've always seen coaches traveling here during my own travel. We've had a bowl game affiliation here for a long, long time, and all of those relationships combined to make it the right move for us. And I encourage you to have fun fitting that into a small soundbite.
Commissioner, we'll go right in front of us in the middle aisle.
Hey, Greg. Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South. I know there's been probably a lot more important things with college athletics, but I was curious if there's a plan for an SEC tiebreaker system now that there's no divisions to be able to settle an SEC championship.
Yes. In fact, we had our athletics directors on a video conference Thursday where he provided an update. It is a lengthy plan consolidated around, I think, eight principles. We go back to our athletics directors at their next video conference. It's about 2 weeks away. We can finalize that anytime between now and the start of the season. We have an annual in-person meeting where any of the little pieces that have been identified for review can be refined and finalized. So absolutely.
Commissioner, we'll go over to your right, Dennis along the aisle.
Greg, Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Certainly the House settlement as proposed for the next 10 years limits some legal liability. But USA Today recently reported in the last 10 years, the NCAA has incurred $433 million in legal expenses alone. Anybody can sue anybody for anything. But how do you lower the temperature on that?
Part of the current settlement effort is to resolve, to the extent we can resolve as much as possible, to do just that. We're not alone in college athletics at being pursued from a litigation front. You saw what happened in the NFL's Sunday ticket decision. You look at Major League Soccer, just doing research on Law 360. You can see the existing open lawsuits there. We clearly have had to think differently, and you can see that happening as decisions are made on policy. An element of the question is how much authority can be managed at the national level through the NCAA. That's clearly what's under full scrutiny. What can be managed at the conference level? If it's less nationally, how do you actually have Final Fours in college football playoffs if everybody's to have a different set of rules? I also would observe that when you look at litigation that exists at the professional level, it's not an indication that that model solves all litigation threats. The simple observation is we live in a litigious society, and we have to continue to make wise decisions informed by legal counsel and be prepared to defend those decisions that are made. Lastly, we're dealing with historic change. And again, people have written over time they should have changed sooner. The reality is, whether you take that opinion or not, the change is happening now.
Okay, we'll go all the way in the far back left.
Hey, Greg. Bruce Marshall from WHBQ in Memphis. Maybe I should get this to Jim Phillips at DC next week. But how closely are you following Florida State and Clemson's challenge to the AC deal? And if they succeed, what sort of ramifications do you see for the entire college sports landscape?
Can you repeat that real question? We had you breaking up for just a bit.
Hold up a little.
Yeah, I think I got okay. It. So the question is, how closely do I monitor what's happening in the ACC?
Yes, yes.
And then what are the implications? I pay attention. As I said, we're focused on our 16. I've said before at Media Days, I'm not a recruiter. My job is to make sure we meet the standard of excellence that we have for ourselves on a daily basis. That attracts interest. It's done that with the two universities that we've added this year. They're not the only phone calls I've ever had, but I'm not involved in recruitment. Our presidents have been clear that I am not going to entangle us in litigation around expansion. And so I pay attention, but I'm not engaged in those conversations. In fact, as I understand, you know, the issue is agreements have been signed and decisions have been made among a conference, and the question is, are those going to be honored as they were established? And apparently that's for a court to decide now.
So as you might imagine, Greg Sankey got asked about Florida State and Clemson, who are trying as best they can to leverage what they bring to the table to someday, before the rights end, the current rights deal that they have with the conference, maybe leaving, maybe joining another league, maybe the SEC. I'm sure that's where they would want to go. And Greg Sankey saying, we like our 16. We're focusing on our 16. We can make big things happen with our 16. Of course, you can go back and Roy Kramer way back and say, we like our 10.
We like our 12.
And then Mike's live. We love our 12. We're going to 14. Now Greg saying, we love our 14. Now we love our 16.
Until Clemson or Florida State decides to or figure out a way to get out of ACC. We're going to love our 16 until that happens.
Right. Now he said, I'm not a recruiter.
Mm.
But
You don't have to recruit.
To say, hey, my colleague, you know, I'm buddies. So the ACC and the commissioner, Willie, we're buddies. We're buddies.
Willie, you don't have to recruit you're the ACC. That's like selling a Mercedes-Benz. You ain't got to recruit people to sell Mercedes-Benz. You just set them outside your lot. They're going to come buy them.
He knows that if they are set free, then it's just a matter of whether you want to pick them up or not. You know, it's like you said, they'll come to they'll come to him. He doesn't have to recruit.
No, he doesn't have to recruit. So he wasn't. He wasn't telling a story.
He just wants to make sure that he's on the record as saying, I'm not. He's basically said, they're calling me. It's like Barry Trotz saying, look, they're calling me about UC Soros. I'm not calling and shopping him around, but people are calling me. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. Greg Sankey knows that he's getting phone calls to, if this happens, if that's, he can't control that. He just wants to make sure that he wants everybody to know in the ACC that I'm not trying to poach anybody. We don't have to. This is the league where everybody wants to come to our conference.
But then again, listen, you sort of have to, in a sense. I'm not going to say recruit, but you got to continue to pick up those phones, because if you don't continue to pick up those phones, guess who's picking them up? The Big Ten.
Right.
The Big 12.
Right.
They're picking up those phones each time a Florida State or Clemson call. So even though you're not recruiting, Sankey, and I get it, you're not recruiting those teams, you still got to pick up the phone, because they will get out of that contract one way or another. It may cost them a little. It may cost them a lot, but it's going to cost them.
Yeah.
They're going to get out, and you want to make sure you have that relationship with them, that when they do get out, they're knocking on your door instead of the next door neighbor's door.
Yes. So it's just, it's a very political answer. And I think it's fair to say that Greg Sankey knows how to play the game. He's played this game before. That's how he ended up with Oklahoma and Texas, when the SEC didn't really need them, didn't need Oklahoma and Texas, but they took him. So we'll take a break on that. When we come back, there's another big point on this enormous fire hose that's going on with NIL. How do you try to rein it in, guardrails, standardization, and that's the word that Greg Sankey has used as his buzzword, national standards, standardization. But he talks about how complex that is to try to do. And they're adapting fast, but it's not going to be fast enough to avoid the Wild West for a while. Let's get into that when we come back. We'll play the quote from Greg Sankey from SEC Media Days here on 102.5 The Game.
When we've walked through conversations, so back to the fall of 2015 with our presidents and chancellors, I probably didn't recognize that there are five fields of play the way I do now. And this is the illustration, Ralph, that I don't think we can do this alone. The five fields of play are the courts. We have to be there because of litigation. The second is Congress. We're active in that conversation because you talk about national standards. The third is at the state level. So even in our footprint, could you normalize or standardize state legislation or among our 12 states now to support that equitable competition our student athletes are asking to be a part of? The fourth is at the conference and campus level. How do we make decisions? And then the fifth is the NCAA. Now, if you can create the right kind of linkages between all five, there's a perfect outcome. I can't ignore any of those five. I can't work on four. That doesn't mean all five have to work together to provide a path forward. We may have to do elements of that at conference levels, given the scrutiny we're under. But it would certainly be a much more healthy conversation if that could happen consistently at a national level. I hope that's responsive and illustrates both the why. Did it take so long? That's a little bit of our history in higher education. It was perceived as working well. Plenty of criticism that it didn't. We've clearly adapted. You just think about the changes in the last 10 years for getting the outcome of the current settlement. There's a lot of things different around college sports.
Greg Sankey earlier today, SEC commissioner, kicking off SEC football media days. And he put it in perspective like this, D. Mace. This is William D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. There's been a decade's worth of change in a matter of months. And I think that's fair. Like, we went from doing it the way it was when D-Mace and I were playing, and we sound like the old guys. We're not that old. We're young at heart. But the old style, you got a scholarship. You didn't get paid. You may not have liked it, but there was a lot of good things about that. And the system did allow D-Mace to develop and become a professional for a long time. It developed me into somebody that I didn't get paid anything, but I got a full scholarship, got a degree, and went on to a pretty good professional career. And it has changed so dramatically in the last few months. And now you've got everybody trying to figure out, well, how do we get a new system where everybody's on the same page here? Because everybody's going in different ways. And so Greg Sankey said today a bunch, we want national standards. We want a standardization process here where everybody's playing under the same rules and understands where we want to go. But to do that, he talked about the five fields of play. So you're an SEC commissioner. You want peace. You want guardrails. You want standardization. You got to deal with the courts. That's number one in these five fields of play he's talking about. The courts, the Congress. Good luck trying to get on the same page with those guys and gals. Number three, the states. He says we have 12 different states represented in our league. Every state's got their own laws, their own rules on how you deal with NIL. Good luck getting all of those on the same page because they're competitive. If they can create an advantage for one of their schools in their states, they're going to try to do that. And there's a whole governing body there that's different than anywhere else, the state level. That's totally different than Congress. So there's a third field. Then you have the conferences / university presidents. Another group. You think it's like trying to herd sheep. So there's a fourth field to play.
It's too many people. It's too many people involved.
Right. And then you have still the governing body, the NCAA, which, as we know, is a mess.
I don't think the NCAA has any power anymore.
No.
But they're still there.
Yeah, they're there.
You're still
yes.
playing for an NCAA title. So you have to try to deal with them, even though they have – you heard Dennis Dodd in our last segment ask the question. And he said, what did he say, $400 million in legal fees? It was $430 billion. I don't know. It was
– dang.
I mean, they've just been decimated by all of the lawsuits, most of which recently they've lost. So just try to get a handle on what it's like for the SEC commissioner who's trying to create a level playing field and a set of rules and standards that you can move forward with. It is going to take some time. I think that is what his biggest point is. Mm-hmm. As much as you want it to happen today, it's not going to happen today. And so how long will it take? He said they just had a 3-hour conference,
a video conference, trying to get
on the same page with Charlie Baker, who is the head of the NCAA, all of the conferences, all of the the presidents, et cetera, trying to – and he said it's not like we're sitting there arguing. We know how difficult this is. We're making progress, but they also know that what's good for the SEC isn't necessarily good for the Sun Belt.
But do you think Sankey cares, really?
He should care. You've got to look at – because when you're the number one most powerful guy in college sports, you should look out for the good of the game.
And you're absolutely right. But we all understand where this is going, Willie. We all understand it. Like,
it's going fast.
It's going fast. It is going to be just three conferences. They probably would like it just to be two, but they probably can't get it to two. It's going to be three conferences. They're not worried about – the other little conferences around.
No.
And they should, yes. Should they? Absolutely. Because the money you're making should be filtered out. I get all of that. But this is all about the Big Ten, Big 12, and the SEC. That's what it's about.
You don't even consider the ACC now?
Because Florida State and Clemson wants to leave. And the minute Florida State and Clemson leaves, Miami's gone after that.
Well, you're saying they'll be swallowed up by these other
Exactly.
Three.
They're just going to be
you
swallowed
You think it'll
up.
End up being three.
I think they're end
and
up
not
being.
Not four.
Not four. Unless the other sports, like kind of like the Big East did, they dissolved it from a from an other sports right. standpoint, and but they kept basketball.
Yeah, okay, and that is I call that the Chip Kelly, right? Yeah. Chip Kelly, I thought, articulated a during a press conference mm-hmm. where he just kind of spouted it out in about 2 minutes, saying we should basically just make football
exactly
its own thing, and then everybody, all the other sports, should go back to geographical making sense mm-hmm. teams in the same area. Get in the rivalries,
well,
travels
sense,
more
because
sensible.
They play more games.
I love that. I don't hear that being talked about at all with Greg Sankey,
because
unfortunately.
Because they all want the money.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's football,
that would make way
basketball,
more sense.
They all want a piece of the pie.
Right. So they're going to do it this way mm-hmm. for a while, it looks like. And it's going to be crazy. And we're just trying to tackle football. Mm-hmm. Forget about what it means for baseball and softball and basketball and, mm-hmm. and track and golf. It's nuts. That UCLA and USC are in the same conference as Rutgers. It just makes no sense at all. But this is the world we're living in.
See, that's when you said that, it's like you're taking a dig. It's like, you didn't say there's no way they shouldn't be in the same division with Ohio State and Michigan. Yeah. You pointed out Rutgers.
Because they're further away.
I know, but
they're
still.
They're New Jersey.
I still. But hell, I mean, Penn State ain't that far for Rutgers.
Right, Penn State, yeah, okay. Penn State, UCLA in a softball weekend. Baseball weekend.
But when you say Rutgers, it makes it sound even yeah. more. It just makes
right.
it sound worse.
I, like, I love you.
Same Rutgers. Seriously?
Rutgers.
Come on, man. My best friend went to Rutgers, man. Come on. Get off of it, man. Get off of Rutgers,
Rutgers
man.
Rutgers is pretty good.
Ray Rice went to Rutgers. Come
Jason
on, man.
Jason McCourty. Fine type.
McCourty went to yeah. Rutgers, man. They had some good players.
They did
man.
Have some good players. I did a Vanderbilt Rutgers game once upon a time with Jay Cutler as the quarterback. Uh-huh. Rutgers won.
Oh, man, damn.
But I got sidetracked. So we're just trying to figure out football here, and we know how complicated it is. So I guess I'll ask you, uh-huh. do you feel like Greg Sankey, as sort of the guy that has the biggest voice, mm-hmm. is – because I've grown to respect him. This is his 10th year being the commissioner, and that has really flown by. I can remember the first one of these he ever did, and I was thinking, is this the guy? This guy is succeeding Mike Slive, who was very highly regarded, and I was thinking, how long is this guy going to last? And here he is 10 years later. He is unquestioned, I think, as the leader of the SEC. But do you think he's the right guy? Is he moving it in the right direction? Do you think he will help create the guidelines that I think we all want to see? I don't think we want the wild, wild west forever mm-hmm. here.
I thought about, Tony Petitti, but he just got the job not too long ago as a Big Ten commissioner. So his power, the power is in the conference, not necessarily the individual. So when you look at Sankey, does he have the power? Who can you name more powerful than him that's still in college sports? Maybe. I mean, Saban's not in college sports no more. Me, but people thought Saban was more powerful than him. So he's out. Now you got Sankey. So I would say Sankey is the lead authority when you're talking college. I would say college football. Not to say that he doesn't, all conferences, all sports, he doesn't overlook all sports, but I'm just saying he understands the big moneymaker is college football. So I think he is the top dog, the top voice when it comes to college football, which makes him the top voice when it comes to college sports in general, when you're talking about the five power conferences or just, sports in general.
Now, here's another example of the press conference
uh-huh.
of – just what he's dealing with here. He's trying to navigate these enormous philosophical issues. Mm-hmm. And for everything that anybody proposes, like me, who says something like, well, how about a 2-year contract between a player and a coach? To ensure mm-hmm. that there's no madness, at least for a couple years. I'll pay you a certain amount to stay for at least 2 years, or maybe it's a 3-year contract. Well, you got to go over to, and so there's one of the five, at least one of the five fields of play that is a roadblock,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, well, the courts, you got to get the courts. It's not collectively bargained. It's no mm-hmm. players union. There are all of these things. Just for the simplest of ideas, anything you propose, there are going to be big questions on how the five fields of play come together. And I would think with five of them, pretty good chance at least one of them is going to have a problem. Mm-hmm. With anything you propose.
They're going to be left out.
So I think the best approach is to try to get the NCAA and the conference commissioners, fields 4 and 5, mm-hmm. on the same page. To me, if you can do that, then you can start dealing with the courts, the Congress, and the state laws.
Because so you said first they need to tackle what's inside before they tackle what's outside.
And that's going to be hard. It's going to be hard enough to get inside. But that's where you have to start, I think. Meanwhile, forget about all the philosophical things and principled things and concepts to try to get this. Right now, they don't have the tiebreaker for who wins the conference or who goes to the conference championship game if you have four teams tied with, you know, 7-1 records, right? Uh-huh. They don't have that because there's no divisions anymore. There's 16 teams now. And so his answer on that today, we just got through a meeting. We have an 8-principle lengthy plan that we're going to circle back with. We feel like we're making progress on it. 8 principles. So the season starts in a couple months. I guess when the season kicks off, they will know what the tie-breaking rule is. But that could be pretty messy, yeah. right?
It can.
That's what I was trying to say earlier.
So he's trying to get the rules for this coming season for the tiebreaker, along with all of these other huge things. What about transfers? What about NIL? What about this? That's a tough job. Well, that is a tough job.
If it hasn't been figured out right now around SEC Media Days, then to me it says that there shouldn't be too much of a concern put on the SEC, I guess, figuring out who is the champion of that conference. There shouldn't be much concern. If Greg Sankey's still figuring it out, I feel like there's no concern.
So what do you think the tiebreaker should be?
I think it should
because be... Because we know that there's no equity in the schedule. Mm-hmm. No two teams are going to have the same schedule.
I think it
there's
should be...
There's no divisions anymore.
It's a strength of schedule.
I'd say home wins. Your home win record.
Yep. So he said 8 principles. I don't know what the 8 principles are, but I think you guys probably mentioned 2 of them. Where were the games played?
Right.
What about head-to-head? Strength of schedule? Strength of schedule is probably the biggest thing.
Margin of victories?
I think you could probably start with head-to-head. I think there's an argument for head-to-head, and then there's an argument that head-to-head shouldn't even come into it. Well, it's like there could be a 3 or 4-way tie.
Well, I guess you can. Right? Essentially, y'all all are going to play at least 3 teams. Y'all will play the same 3 teams. You may not play each other,
but
you all will play sort of the same team. So I get that.
So you have 8 league games still.
Right.
You have 16 teams. So there's going to be half of the league that you don't play.
That's why I say
that's pretty crazy. There's no uniformity in
don't you,
who you play.
It's almost like they should have thought.
It's a really complex
question.
They should
have thought about this. It's almost like they didn't think about this.
No.
Before they said, let's do the 12 teams.
It was 16 teams, yeah.
16 teams. It was like, okay, let's just do it and then we'll worry about it later.
It sounds like
well, it's here because, and it makes it even more prominent because of the new format for the playoffs.
Bingo.
That's why now it's like, oh, so it's almost like they put the cart before the horse with the playoffs.
They heard
but
the
remember,
coins
it's an
and
automatic.
Signs. This is what they
They
heard.
Did. They uh-huh. did. And I think they can fall back on both of the teams that make the championship, and probably even say there's a three-way tie.
Those two teams will make it.
They'll be in the field.
They will be in.
The third team will probably, you know, most years be in the field. So you at least have that. But it's a difference between a bye, having to win 3 games to win the whole thing, as opposed to having to win 4 games to win the whole thing. So it's a big thing. What is the tiebreaker? I'm curious to see what they end up doing because I find it interesting that they haven't come up with the format yet.
Or,
that means they're discussing this thing heavily.
This goes under the Derek mm-hmm. Mason conspiracy theory umbrella. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Hear me out. Maybe this is done on purpose for broadcasting and TV purposes, for mm-hmm. the committee to actually feel like, well, you know what? A two-loss team, Alabama, they should get
so you're saying just have an SEC selection committee? It's a committee to split ties just to determine who are the teams in the SEC championship.
Bingo.
Made for TV?
Right.
I'd say SEC Network could have
because
to be watching
that. SEC Network has their own television station.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
They already got their thing with ESPN. Mm-hmm. And to this point, D-May said it earlier, what's the NCAA? They're nothing.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised to see the Big 12 and the Big 10. And
follow suit.
And SEC all to follow suit. Because then they do their own playoff.
Wow.
Would not be surprised.
Hmm.
How about
Can you imagine? You have a committee just to determine who was in the SEC championship game, then a committee to determine who's in the national playoff.
But he's right. You would almost have to do that if the criteria for tied teams, if you have two teams or three teams that both have the same record at the top of the conference, then you do have to have somebody to figure this out, a committee to figure this out. And then you got to have that same committee to figure out, well, with the whole committee to figure out who's going to actually make the playoffs.
I actually thought they would entertain the idea of two 8-team divisions within the 16-team league and just have everybody play 8 teams. That would give you a true division winner. You'd have two divisions. Then you would easily be able to determine who the champion is. But they're not doing that.
But here's the thing again.
They'll miss out on a lot of money doing that.
Well, I guess, but do you want to really have a league? Like, it's not really a league. We're playing 8 games with a 16-team league. The league is too big.
I don't think
it messes up all of the scheduling for every sport, besides, in addition to football.
It does, but I don't think they – it'll be hard for them to do it, to continue to do it the old way. Even though it may be confusing, I think this way – ultimately, it will work. I think the other way, sort of, just like say the SEC, what was it, East and West? I think it was the Big Ten, East and West. East and West.
That's how it used to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So for the last couple of years,
when I was there, it went from 10 to 12, and they created divisions for the first time, and you had an East and a West for the first time, 6 teams in each.
Uh huh.
And so the scheduling, it wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. But it made a lot more sense.
Yeah, but for the last couple of years, before Tennessee,
when they went to 14, it got more complicated.
But before Tennessee had, before their last two seasons, where they've been pretty good, it was just really Georgia. It was like at the beginning of the year, for the last couple of years, it was just a foregone conclusion. Georgia's going to win that. Georgia's going to win the division. You couldn't necessarily, even though as good as Alabama was in their conference, there still was a opportunity for them to lose to Auburn, for them to lose to LSU, Texas A&M, Ole Miss. So that side of the bracket was still a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, it was deeper.
Deeper than Georgia, UT, and Missouri. And
well, Florida had their run in the early years under Spurrier. They had a stranglehold.
But the East has been the stronger of the two conferences for the last at least 6 years, 6 or 7 years. So
Even though it was top heavy with Georgia sort of being the king of the mountain. Yeah, for the last few years.
Exactly.
They're on the run right now.
So now
you got 16 teams.
Yeah, now you do it with no conferences. I think it'll shake out eventually. It'll shake out better this way than the other way.
Well, that's why I think the tiebreaker is going to be a very important part of this. So we all await on what that's going to be. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll hit another aspect of this. Texas and Oklahoma are in. What do we think the biggest thing, besides no divisions, more teams, what other impacts are they going to make in the SEC as they join this year? 615-737-1025 is our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're back to wrap up hour number two. Teron Davenport joins us at the top of hour number three.
That's always the challenge in the SEC. You know, what kind of tickles me is all these people asking these questions about how Texas always ran the conference they were in. Anyway, they're not going to run the SEC. There's a whole lot of arrogant people in a lot of places in the SEC, so they can forget all about that. Yeah. They'll be a good team and a great program, and Sark will do a great job, but that's not going to be a problem.
It's Nick Saban on SEC Network. The question was asked to Greg Sankey earlier. With Texas and Oklahoma, of course, remember, the SEC media days are down in Texas. So you can imagine the Texas people coming into this thing and saying, okay, what's this going to be like? And the other teams in the league, because let's give you the background. Why did everything go nuts about 10 or 15 years ago? One of the big things in the old Big 12 was Texas stepped up within the league and said, we're Texas. We deserve a bigger portion of the pie because we bring more to the table. It's exactly what Clemson and Florida State are trying to leverage right now to get out of the ACC. It's a little bit of how Jerry Jones tried to work the NFL, and the commissioners have always sort of backed him down and said, no, you are in a league, even though maybe you do bring more to the table. For the good of the league, we have to have equal throughout the league. It is an interesting principle in our whole sports world. What's fair? What's right? But mm-hmm. Texas was able to strong-arm the old Big 12, and they basically won. Remember when the whole Longhorn Network came into play? Is that even still a channel?
It's dormant, but yes, it's still a channel. For a little bit.
That was one of the things that they did was they leveraged their power within the league, and it was the threat of we do this or we're leaving. And the league sort of cratered and said, okay. And they gave them some better perks, and one of them was they got their own channel and revenue that went with it. Well, what happened? Well, Nebraska left, and then Colorado left, and then you got this whole domino effect that started happening around college sports. But that was really the beginning of it. So the questions today with the SEC Media Days in Texas were, are Texas and Oklahoma, who are used to basically dictating a lot of terms in the league, going to get some special treatment? You just heard Nick Saban. Greg Sankey said it a little more kindly. Mm-hmm. They are going to be amongst peer athletic programs and peer universities. In other words, no. They are not getting any more of their piece of the pie or anything like that. It's equal across the board in the SEC. And that is going to be an interesting thing for Texas mm-hmm. to try to stomach, especially Oklahoma to some degree as well. But I think Texas is going to be one of the most fun teams to beat for a lot of the traditional SEC powers. Fair to say?
Yeah,
people are
going to
like
so.
Beating Texas.
Of course, because, Texas was, top dog for a good bit. And it's been back and forth with them in Oklahoma, in the Big 12. And now they move over to the SEC. And I'm sure there are teams within the SEC, especially, you're talking the upper echelon teams, are like, listen, don't just think you're going to come in here and start, wrecking shop and yeah. do what you did in the Big 12. That's not going to happen. So the parity in the SEC is a lot better than, what is perceived to be in the Big 12. So that alone should make for some really good games, when Texas is involved with any one of these, power teams within the SEC, whether it's Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Auburn, UT seem to be back in the mix now. We don't know what's going to happen to Florida. Ole Miss, you don't know which way they're going. They got recruits, and they're getting people out of the portal, but can Lane Kiffin put that team together and really make a run? So,
well, and that is something that I think we're going to have to watch while we're in this Wild West. And that is, you have free agency, you have crazy free agency, and you have no salary cap. And so a team like Texas, a school like Texas that has huge funds that can compete with Alabama and all these other schools, they're going to bring a lot to the table. And the money they're going to spend, I think, on players is going to be something to watch. Will they just flat out outspend some people? Are they going to become like the Yankees in baseball, where baseball has some barriers on what you can spend, but you can spend whatever you want if you're willing to pay the luxury tax to do it. It goes back into the pool, but they don't even have that in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So Greg Sankey did say that, yeah, with Texas and Oklahoma coming in, we have more mouths to feed, but we generate more revenue on the national and local and collective levels. And that's why he brought them in, for sure. But this is going to be interesting. And it's going to be, how does the league view Texas and, to some degree, Oklahoma, but also how does Texas view the league, where they're not the big brother and they're not just coming in and running everything? It's going to be a heck of a thing. And I do think Texas is going to be the villain for a while. I think a lot of the teams that hate each other within the traditional part of the league will all gang up on Texas.
Yeah.
They're going to root against
Texas. Everybody's going to be looking to.
I think. It's like new kid on the block. Yeah. Let's show you how we do it in this league. I think there's going to be one.
But, I mean,
That's why Texas's win in Alabama, at Alabama last year was a big win.
Yeah, that was huge. And listen, you can say what you want about Texas, but they're a damn good team. And their coach is a really good coach. So, they're going to come in and they're going to hold their own in the SEC. They are. Now, whether they win the SEC or not, that's yet to be seen. But I still think there's a reason why, the SEC wanted Texas and Oklahoma in their conference because it strengthens their conference. If Oklahoma and Texas was a 4 or 5 seed team in the Big 12, I don't think they would have been as attractive. But historically, this is one of the best programs in college football, both Oklahoma and Texas. So you want them in your division because it's only going to make your conference tougher. It's going to make your conference that much better. And, Texas is going to come in. They proved it last year. We beat the top dog last season, which was Alabama at that particular time. But ultimately, obviously, we know Georgia won. But, Alabama ended up winning. Georgia lost to them in the SEC championship game. Texas is going to be able to hold their own. Now, where they finish, I don't know. But I think they will be a top team. There will be a top 3 or 4 team in that conference.
It's going to be fun to watch. When we come back, Teron Davenport's going to join us. We'll talk with TD. We'll talk a little Titans as we inch closer to training camp opening up. So the final hour of the show here on Willie and D. Mace coming up next on 102.5 The Game.